It's a 90.5 WESA election special focusing on the U.S. Senate race in Pennsylvania. And we begin this segment of the program with the Democratic candidate for Senate, Katie McGinty. She's the former Department of Environmental Protection Secretary in the state of Pennsylvania and was most recently the Chief of Staff for Governor Tom Wolf. Katie McGinty, welcome to 90.5 WESA.
Thanks for having me.
Perhaps the most important issue for you and your opponent in this campaign is the economy and job creation. Depressed is a word often used to describe the economies of small towns and rural communities that surround Pittsburgh. What is your plan for reviving them?
Well, Paul, first, this is family for me and not just politics and an issue. I was blessed to be raised in a hardworking family that with hard work, we felt we were in the middle class. You put in your hours, you're able to get ahead. And so what I see out there across the Commonwealth is that people are working hard, but the dollars and cents, the good paying jobs haven't been there. What I'd like to do is a couple things. One, get back to investing in job training and apprenticeship programs. I think that's key. We've gotten away from that. For those kids who are going to college, you bet I'm going to fight to bring the cost of college down, tax credits for middle-class families to be able to afford college. But I think we can also get started right now in putting people back to work. We know that our infrastructure needs to be rebuilt. And I think with the technology that we have, we can compete in manufacturing again. Where I differ with Senator Toomey is I'm not for these bad trade deals that have sent our jobs overseas. Let's bring them back home.
As long as you mentioned trade deals, let's talk about the one that's been in the news a lot of late, and that's the Trans-Pacific Partnership. The TPP is a trade deal between the United States, Japan, and 10 other Pacific nations. President Obama has signed it. He has talked about the virtues of it, but you oppose it, and Senator Toomey now opposes it after initially indicating that he would support it. Why is this a bad deal for people in places like Pittsburgh?
Well, my top priority, and I think the country's biggest need, is good-paying jobs. Even the proponents of TPP say that it will cost us at least 50,000 good-paying jobs every year. We can't afford it. And we also shouldn't be fooled by Senator Toomey on this one. Senator Toomey literally wrote the book on free trade, has lobbied for and voted for countless numbers of these agreements, and even on TPP itself was one of the senators that pushed hardest to what they call fast-track the agreement through the Congress to get it done as quickly as possible. So I don't think voters are going to be fooled by an election season supposed change of heart.
Why is free trade a bad thing?
Oh, free trade is not a bad thing. But trade needs to be fair, and we need to have a level playing field. I believe 100% that American workers, and Pennsylvania workers in particular, can compete with anyone in the world. We have the most productive workforce in the world. But, you know, when the deck is stacked against you, it's pretty hard to win. And so when we see the Chinese, for example, getting away with dumping their products in our market, when we see them doing very complex things like manipulating their currency so our products aren't cost competitive, that playing field isn't level. But if trade was genuinely fair, you bet we can outcompete anybody.
Donald Trump famously has said, and he recently reiterated it in Pittsburgh, that he's going to bring the steel and coal industry back. Is something like that even possible in this day and age? And if not, what are the industries Western Pennsylvania can turn to in order to create jobs? When you talk about creating good-paying jobs, where are those jobs going to emerge from?
Well, first of all, I think Donald Trump is suspect on anything he wants to say in terms of creating good jobs. Why? Because he spent his whole career defrauding honest businesses and sending honest businesses into bankruptcy when he wasn't playing the bankruptcy courts himself. But look, we should be optimistic about where we are. Here's the cutting edge of where competition is. That cutting edge has to do with skilled labor, plus technology, plus speed to market. Well, we have some of the best workforce certainly in the country here in Pennsylvania and in Western Pennsylvania in particular. And as I said, we're the most productive workforce in the world. But making stuff now is as much about a joystick as it is a forklift. And so when we have the excellence at Carnegie Mellon in robotics, at Pitt in life sciences, at Penn State in engineering, nanotechnology, you put those things together, plus the fact that we sit in the middle of the biggest buying market in the world. Our speed to market is quicker than any of our competitors. That's a recipe for success, but we have to go after it. And in addition to saying no to the unfair trade deals, one thing that I would do and push hard as a United States Senator is buy American. Where are our tax dollars going? For every good and service that we are procuring, are we buying from local companies invested in our communities? We absolutely should, need to be, and when we do, you bet it'll be the best goods and services in the world.
How do you ensure that?
Well, I think, look, you just, as I did when I was Secretary of Environmental Protection, we set about to build good jobs in the renewable energy space, manufacturing jobs. And the way we did that is to say, look, the Commonwealth is the biggest consumer of energy in Pennsylvania. So we put our energy purchasing dollars to work to buy from those companies that were hiring Pennsylvanians.
The ethane cracker promises jobs, but many are worried that it's a large new source of pollution in a region that has seen slow but steady improvement in its air quality over the years. As a former secretary of the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection, what do you say to environmental critics of the plant or people who are worried that that this could set Pittsburgh's air quality back?
Well, look, in my career now, 25-plus years working to create jobs while protecting the environment, what I've learned is that when you put your mind to it, when you ensure that you've got good, strong regulations, when you ensure that you've got a solid environmental cop on the beat, we shouldn't buy the line that you have to choose between jobs and the environment. And what I think we need to do is fully understand any pollution that would be associated with the plant and ensure that all the right controls and requirements and rules are in place to capture and cut that pollution. Here's what I think very strongly, though. As we ensure the environment and public health isn't harmed by this plant or any other, when it comes to our gas or other resources, we need to make sure the full spectrum of jobs are being created here in Pennsylvania. It still bothers me to see all the Oklahoma and Texas license plates. You know, Pennsylvanians should have those jobs if we're producing that gas resource. And what I'm excited about is instead of just burning that resource, what the cracker allows us to do is use gas as a feedstock for all kinds of advanced industries, whether they are in chemicals or advanced materials or in the life sciences space. Let's make sure we're doing that full value chain here in Pennsylvania and not just shipping out raw products so that other people in other states or countries get the good paying jobs.
But how do you make sure, how do you regulate a cracker plant?
Oh, I think, look, there's going to be whatever air pollution is associated with it or if there's any water issues, you diagnose and you understand those up front. It's the same with any major construction or building that is happening. And then you understand and define and take on the technology that's needed to cut and eliminate that pollution.
Fracking is seen by many of your fellow Democrats as an economic driver for Western Pennsylvania, despite concerns about how it can harm the environment. Should we proceed with fracking? And if so, what is the best way to do it?
Well, I've been very clear on this. I think that we need to regulate it, zone it, tax it. And I would say that previous administration with Governor Corbett, we didn't get that balance right. Yeah, the idea that we weren't allowing good, reasonable zoning regulations in terms of where that well development would happen is wrong. That's wrong. It's also wrong that we're just about the only state in the country with a shale gas industry that doesn't ask for the industry to pay its fair share in a severance tax. So these are things we need to change. We need to get those right and make sure that these resources are working for us and that everybody's paying their fair share.
You have an established track record when it comes to clean energy, including courting a Spanish wind turbine manufacturer, Gamesa, that would eventually invest heavily in Pennsylvania. Your opponent, Senator Toomey, contends that you turned government posts and taxpayer aid into six-figure positions with environmental and energy companies, including one that was a major shareholder in Gamesa. How do you answer his allegations?
Well, I say don't take it from me. Every independent organization that has fact-checked his ads and assertions have repeatedly said his ads are wrong, they are misleading, they are false, time and time again. And it's really disturbing, actually, how he just doubles down on things that have been declared total falsehoods. But what I am very proud about is that whether I've been in the private sector or the public sector, I've always been about the same thing, and that is creating jobs while protecting the environment. What Senator Toomey, unfortunately, has done, and this is the real definition of the revolving door. So he made his millions on Wall Street, and then he changed his title to congressman or senator. He's been in Washington now near two decades. But he went to work to further the private interest at the public expense. You know, he's hard charging every day to repeal consumer protections to enable Wall Street to do pretty much whatever it wants. Case in point is this situation with Wells Fargo Bank. Wells Fargo oversaw the defrauding of some 2 million accounts, including innocent victims here in Pennsylvania. Now, I've been hard charging to say I'm going to stand up for those consumers, for the victims of this fraud. And what has Pat Toomey done? Well, he is working hard to push legislation that would defund and defang the Consumer Protection Agency that uncovered the fraud and brought the big bankers to heel. It's just so upside down. That's the revolving door, where you use the trust of your constituents, the public office that you are entrusted with, not for the public interest, but for your own private interest and the private interest of those that are your buddies, and in the case of Wall Street banks, Pat Toomey's former colleagues.
This is a 90.5 WESA election special focusing on the U.S. Senate race in Pennsylvania. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and for this segment of the program, we're talking with the Democratic nominee for that U.S. Senate seat, Katie McGinty. There have been several disturbing incidents throughout the United States in the last couple of years in which unarmed black men have been shot by police. What are your thoughts about what we're seeing and how this problem should be addressed?
Well, Paul, I guess like a lot of Americans, I'm just heartbroken about it and very, very concerned. And I come at it from two perspectives. One, as a mom with daughters who are now teenagers and who want to be out and about and seeing the world. And that makes our hearts happy. But every time they walk out the door, your heart's in your mouth. And I come at it from the perspective also of the daughter of a police officer. You know, where we knew that experience of kissing dad goodbye in the morning and not knowing, you know, is he coming back home for dinner tonight? I think as a community, as moms and dads and as brothers and sisters and as neighbors, that's how we have to sit down and work our way through these tragic incidents. And I think there's some pragmatic things that we have to do as well. I have proposed and have been pushing hard for doubling something called the COPS program. That's about community policing. It's about more cops on the beat. Now, everybody agrees, whether it's the law enforcement or folks in communities who have not felt very protected in their communities or very safe around law enforcement. Everybody agrees that one of the best things we can do is community policing. I've proposed to double it. Unfortunately, Pat Toomey has led the charge to actually end the program for various places in Pennsylvania, and at the very least to cut the COPS program. That's the wrong way to go. I think we need to have body cameras. And another thing that my dad really emphasized to me as he was a beat cop, it's important that the ranks of police officers look like the neighborhood. Let's make sure we have folks who come from the neighborhood who are part of the team. Those are things I think we can and should do. But I will say my heart's very, very heavy about where we find ourselves.
When it comes to the issue of gun violence and mass shootings, you have acknowledged that most gun owners believe that there should be common sense gun laws. As far as you are concerned, what is a common sense gun law and which common sense gun laws are you in favor of?
Well, and let me also say on this that, I think in Pennsylvania, we respect and celebrate, our sportsman's heritage. My own brothers were hunters. Deer season would come around, and they'd be very, very excited. And that's an incredibly important part of who we are. But responsible gun owners, too, say, look, we shouldn't be having criminals or the mentally infirm having unfettered access to dangerous weapons. And I think one that everybody agrees on, but unfortunately Senator Toomey voted against. We have a loophole in our gun safety laws in the United States right now that allows suspected terrorists in this country to buy the weapons of war and then turn them against innocent people in our country. There's legislation not once but twice to close that deadly loophole, and Senator Toomey voted against it. Again, I think for myself, I'd be part of closing that loophole. I would be part of ensuring that the mentally infirm and criminals are going through thorough background checks and not able to get those weapons. But unfortunately, Pat Toomey has seen it differently and not voted for those common sense measures, or at least on key occasions has not.
He did put his name on the Toomey Manchin Amendment, this following the mass shootings at Sandy Hook Elementary School, that would have required a background check on all gun sales, including at gun shows and on the internet. In the wake of the mass shooting in Orlando, you criticized Senator Toomey, saying he disavowed any attempt to move on the legislation. Is disavow too strong a word since he still supports the measure and indeed voted for it again?
Well, no, let's look at the senator's track record. And it's disturbing because it's clear that this is a political and a politically opportunistic thing for him. So he lent his name for one brief moment in time to a piece of legislation. He dropped it like a hot potato as soon as the public attention turned away. And in fact, his words, famous or infamous, "The Senate has spoken, let's move on." After Orlando and San Bernardino, he was literally begged to reintroduce that legislation. His words, not mine. No, let Democrats take the lead. In this campaign cycle, here's what he's been up to. When he's in Philadelphia, he points again to that legislation 3.5 years ago. But when he's in other parts of the state, he tells a very different story. Oh, I have a perfect record with the NRA. My idea of gun control, he has said, is a steady aim. I think what's disturbing is, one, this need not be so divisive an issue. Good people can come together with genuine leadership. But Senator Toomey's been playing this issue, and he's not been straight with the people of Pennsylvania, saying one thing in Western Pennsylvania and a very different thing in Philadelphia.
Mylan CEO Heather Bresch was on Capitol Hill recently and defended the price of EpiPens going from $100 for a two-pack to over $600 in recent years by saying the company doesn't make as much profit on EpiPens as many believe. What would you do to rein in costs like these that drug companies are charging?
Well, the situation here is indefensible. There's been no reason put forward as to why a vital tool for families that's literally life-saving has been so radically jacked up in costs. Look, there's some things we have to do here. One, it's absolutely unconscionable as well that federal law right now says that Medicare can't negotiate the cost of prescription drugs. We're the only country in the world where that's true. And the result is that our families pay two times, three times, four times or more the cost of these drugs as compared to what people pay for the very same medications in other places in the world. Second, you have to keep a bright spotlight on these practices that just are not right. And I think that if this company's not making profits, as the CEO apparently suggested, her salary certainly suggests a very profitable company, nearly $20 million a year. So something's fishy there. And third, I would call for the various instruments of federal government, whether it's the Federal Trade Commission or the Departments of Health, to investigate this. You know, what could possibly justify these jacked up prices? And I think what we'll find is that nothing justifies it and that there is abuse of consumers in what we've seen. You know, some other things that we can and should do. The Food and Drug Administration. Is it properly staffed? Is it properly funded to be able to move along the approval of generic versions of various drugs and make sure that consumers have some options to choose from? I think we also need to bring price transparency, not only to drugs, but to medical procedures where, geez, everybody knows the price of a gallon of gas, but you're going to get your hip replaced? You have no clue. That can and should end, and I would look forward to pushing initiatives along those lines.
It's been 1 year since the Iran nuclear deal was signed, which prevents Iran from developing a nuclear weapon in exchange for the lifting of economic sanctions. Senator Toomey has long opposed the Iran nuclear deal and believes sanctions should have been maintained. What is your feeling about the Iran nuclear deal, particularly as we look back at it 1 year later?
Well, first and foremost, it's absolutely unacceptable to think of or allow a nuclear Iran. Now, this agreement has made significant progress in taking down some of Iran's nuclear capabilities, and the experts would say pushing them back a decade in terms of their nuclear capabilities. That's absolutely vital. Iran is not a friend to the United States. Iran is not a friend to Israel. Iran is not a force for good in this world. We cannot have it be that Iran has nuclear capabilities. Having said that, I've been critical of the Obama administration for being slow in acting when Iran proceeds, for example, to test ballistic missiles that are violations of UN resolutions. We need to make clear to Iran that we mean business, no violation of any kind of any agreement. The Iran deal itself or UN resolutions will be tolerated. We need to act and act fast. Where I disagree with Senator Toomey is on a number of fronts. First, I think he's hard-pressed to have a very informed position about this issue because he missed 90% of the key hearings and meetings in his very own committee charged with examining these issues, 90%. He also has taken steps that just decidedly make us less safe in this country. You know, as a guy who voted against legislation that would have doubled our border security, he voted against legislation that would have closed dangerous loopholes in our visa program. Voted against legislation that would have closed the loophole that allows terrorists to buy guns. The senator's track record on these issues is troubling. And I think in this political and election season, he's trying to talk a tough game. But frankly, he's not been there.
Katie McGinty, we've come to the point of our discussion where we are going to engage in something we call the lightning round, which is a series of 10 questions. I'll give you the question and you will give me a one sentence answer, and it can be no more than one sentence. Are you ready?
Okay, deal. Yikes.
What is the one accomplishment in your life you are most proud of?
Being a mom of three lovely young ladies. Now, is that an accomplishment? I'll just say it's the greatest joy in my life.
What is your biggest regret?
Oh, my biggest regret is that this calling I feel to public service is probably similar to what other people feel in their professional life. You always feel like you're shortchanging things that are near and dear and invaluable to you, including especially time with your family.
You were caught on tape at a union event this summer calling your opponent a word we cannot use on the radio. If you could go back in time and undo that moment, what word or phrase would you use to describe Pat Toomey?
Well, first of all, we were having a bit of fun. And second, I would just say that, you know, I am the daughter of my dad's daughter, you know, a salty Irishman. And when it comes to issues I care a lot about, like are working families going to get a fair shake? Well, I can get a little salty and passionate myself. So you might hear a little bit more of that as we go along here.
In one sentence, how would you sum up what it means to be a Pennsylvanian?
I think it means being patriotic, hardworking, loving your family, being an intense sports fan, and being blessed to live in an absolutely gorgeous state.
Which, speaking of sports, which Pennsylvania pro sports team best embodies the qualities of Pennsylvanians and why?
Oh, well, listen, I have to own my Philadelphia roots and origins here for sure. I love the Eagles. Speaking of that salty Irishman dad of mine, it was always a joy on Sundays. We'd all be around that TV. And let's just say there'd be all kind of language directed at Dick Vermeil and the team.
Who is the one person, living or dead, you most admire and why?
I'd say Nelson Mandela, God rest his soul. I always had hoped and prayed that life would unfold where I might have the honor of meeting him. But someone who endured, obviously, the most horrific pain and showed such incredible nobility through it all and led people through that pain to finding a common space and back to human dignity and respect.
You often mention that you are from a family of 10 children. Why is that important?
Because I think voters need to know where someone they may elect is going to be coming from on every issue that might come across the desk. There are issues that we can talk about in the course of a campaign, but there's a million more that you never do talk about. So I want voters to know, whatever the issue is, I'm cutting that issue. I'm answering it. My vote is going to be on behalf of the very same kind of beautiful, hardworking families that I am blessed and privileged to have come from. That's what I'm about.
What is the one book that has most influenced your life and why?
Okay, here I'm going to cheat because I have two.
All right.
Unbroken, for all of the reasons we can imagine, just the strength, the patriotism, the perseverance of Americans, our willingness to rise up and do what's right and fight for right causes. But the second one is Harry Potter. And the reason is not the substance of the books, although we were drawn into them, but because it was the first series of books that we sat down and read the entire series cover to cover as a family out loud. And I will always remember those moments as some of the most fun and joyous moments between my husband, myself, and our three girls.
And we've come to the final question, which is, in one sentence, why should people vote for you to become the next U.S. Senator from Pennsylvania?
Well, I will fight for good, honest, hardworking people every single day. And it'll be my greatest joy and privilege to help make it a little easier for someone who's just wanting to have the chance to look at their son and daughter in the eye with pride and say, I'm working hard, but I've got you. And whatever your dream is, if you work hard, we're going to get you there. Every day, I'm going to try to make it just a little easier for a good person like that.
Katie McGinty is the Democratic nominee for U.S. Senate. She is running against incumbent Pat Toomey. Katie McGinty, thank you so much for joining us in our 90.5 WESA studios.
Thanks for having me.